The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time.
Good morning. We're with Natalie DeLapp. Are you ready for your question here?
Yes.
You are. All right. Why are men's buttons on the right and women's on the left with apparel?
Are more men left-handed than women?
Question mark. Okay. Decorative buttons first appeared around 2000 BC, but they weren't commonly used as fasteners until the 16th century. Because most men are right-handed and generally dress themselves, they found it easier to fasten their buttons from right to left. However, wealthy women were dressed by servants who found it easier to fasten their mistress's clothes if the buttons were on her left. It became convention and has never changed.
There we go.
So you just don't hang around with a bunch of wealthy ladies. That's
I've
apparently
never had
the case.
Opportunity to have someone else dress me.
Oh, you're going to do that one early, huh? No, I'm in the box on that one. Do I agree or disagree? We just move on. Oh, so you're kind of an ace in the marijuana industry. What's going on statewide? You know, a couple of years ago, we heard every county was going to be doing something separate and this and that, and then a couple kind of took the lead and then got smacked back. And what is, I guess maybe even further back, at the federal level, are all states similar? Or is California still very unique in how we approach that whole topic?
Well, California created regulation through a legislative act that was signed into law by Jerry Brown in October of 2015. It was called the Medical Marijuana Regulation Safety Act.
Yeah, that was a source of a lot of comedy throughout the country.
Right? Like, you know, but that was really a landmark law because right. What had happened is the voters had passed Prop 215, the Compassionate Use Act law, in 1996. And so for almost 25 years, there was zero regulation around marijuana cultivation or consumption.
Zero regulation or zero recognition?
Regulation.
Okay.
So people had a plausible defense for cultivating cannabis or marijuana. You know, that's why.
Well, some of us old timers remember 215 cards.
Correct.
And that, you know, if you had a hangnail, you could get one.
Sure, sure. A
couple $100 and somebody wrote you a prescription, it was there. But that was really still kind of like Wild Wild West, wasn't it?
Oh, very much. And so yeah. that's really where we started to see a lot of the problems, because we were still in prohibition. We still had, but we had a plausible defense. And that's when a lot of what people came to know as the Green Rush. So coming out of the late 90s, 2000s, 2010, 15, in the late 2000s is when we were seeing some of the worst environmental and social impacts in our county. Simultaneously, significant drought. We were suffering from trespass and cartel grows. You know, it was not a good scene. And so the legislature, you know, this is when freshman senators McGuire and Jim Wood had just gotten elected and started working with Rob Bonta, who's now our attorney general, and they drafted these this legislation that ultimately was signed by the governor.
Now, is that where some of the states are at this point that have just been passing the medicinal marijuana or legalization?
So it is still Schedule I controlled substance for federal government, but I think 38 states plus D.C. have some form of legalization, either medical or adult use, and each state has their own protocols. So each state regulates on a state level. Here in California.
And that's on the consumption end, not necessarily on the manufacturing end.
It depends. It depends.
Unique.
Yeah, okay. It depends. But interstate, it's still called interstate trafficking if you are taking cannabis across state lines.
That 1/32nd of an inch line.
Yes. Those political boundary lines are still in effect. We are not allowed to transport marijuana over state lines. So everything needs to be cultivated within the state that is being consumed.
And we'll talk about that in more detail when we come back. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Natalyn Delap. I guess you're kind of like the default expert here, huh? I was going to call you Marijuana Mama, but that doesn't sound really applicable.
I know, or like the cannabis czar.
No, that's not a C. That's not alliterative, I think. We'll work on it.
Trust me, I'm tired of talking about cannabis and marijuana. It has been 10 years. It's exhausting.
Well, you know, I'm kind of surprised that you're still here. I mean, with all these other jurisdictions just getting into it.
I mean, Humboldt's my home.
I get it. But, you know, all the consultants that we have that are flying out of here all the time, left and right. I know some of the law enforcement guys are being, not taken us wrong, are consulting different jurisdictions as new challenges are coming up into these areas because of the ballot box.
Right.
Or trying to figure out how do we do this so that we don't have the environmental degradation. Or we don't have, we don't have the international drug cartel. Right. Okay. We make it limited or more than what it is now. So it's kind of cool you're still hanging out here.
Yeah, you know, I really think it's important that people who are locally involved and understand what's going on in the local jurisdictions make their own decisions and make their own rules versus having an outsider come in that doesn't understand the ins and outs of
But you still have a template, kind of a starting spot to say,
This
worked here, play with it, adjust it, do what you want, but at least here's a starting spot.
Yeah, I mean, it's local people need to take ownership of their own local issues, and I find more problems when what I call carpetbagger consultants come in thinking that they know better than the locals.
So land use issues is a whole different component versus the consumption. I suppose we could talk about consumption forever and still not really figure things out, all the different forms and whatnot. I guess truth and labeling would kind of be where is it getting to the point where it's like the alcohol industry, like it's like any of the other food product industries where the labels really have standards that are recognized and that are included?
We're getting there. Unfortunately, cannabis is not like alcohol. Alcohol has one active ingredient that gets people intoxicated. Cannabis has over 100 cannabinoids that affect people in different ways. And, you know, I use this example.
There's 100 different?
Yeah, there's 100 different molecular components to cannabis that have different impacts on people. Well,
is that like the chromosomes are? There are that many variables that you can breed?
Yeah, so that's the interesting thing about the plant, you know, cannabis sativa. You know, I use an example that everybody knows, dogs, Canis lupus. Canis lupus is the
wolf.
But that's a wolf. And all dogs come from wolves. All dogs, house pets, are Canis lupus. But then there's different breeds and species and standards. And so if I ask you to think of a German shepherd, everybody can imagine what a German shepherd is. Or a poodle. But if I ask the listeners to tell me what Blue Dream looks like, smells like, and tastes like, it's going to be wildly variable. And so, like with wine.
So is that a recognized
cultivar?
Dog breed?
Yeah, it's called a cultivar. It's also been known as a strain. But
but that's then across all, you go into store X, Y, or Z. If that's there, it's all the same experience?
No, and that's the part that's going to be a long time in the making is having standardization. So, like, if I go and open a bottle of Pinot Noir, that has a very specific taste and flavor. Chardonnay, Cabernet, you know, these things, you know, Walla Walla apples versus a Golden Delicious or a Red Delicious. So we all come to know what these different varietals of apple or grape or different breeds of dogs, but there's not a lot of consistency in cannabis yet.
Because it's a still kind of an outlaw or no, so because, new because or no standards?
Why? The plant only lives for 6 months and you can breed them. So you have pollen drift. So there's all these different phenotype expressions that can come out. And then based on where it's grown, it can have different characteristics.
So you still have the soils like grape
vines
do.
Right. So it's a wildly complicated plant that really defies being characterized at this point.
Okay. So from a consumer perspective, how do you know what it is that you're
looking for?
And I've never done this, so I feel so stupid, but I, you know, ignorance is bliss, I'm hoping. How do you know what it is that you're buying? You know, if you get a bottle of Cabernet from pick your favorite in Napa, you have a pretty good sense. Yeah, year to year, it's going to change a little bit different in the, you know, what kind of barrels are it in and, you know, that. Okay, fine. Nuances.
Right.
This doesn't sound like nuances. This sounds like it's, you know, apples to grapefruits.
Yeah, and so, I mean,
same label, though.
My recommendation is, one, absolutely number one, is shop at a licensed retail dispensary and buy license-tested product.
So there's some consistency where you can.
You know, in the cannabis testing laws in California indicate that this plant material is going to be cleaner than organic blueberries. Stuff that is allowed on organic.
You're bringing my blueberries into this discussion.
I'm bringing your blueberries. So organic produce does not have to follow the same testing standards that legal cannabis has to.
Because of the history of it?
I mean, the state wants to make sure consumers are going to be as safe as possible.
And blueberries don't have quite the same concern
people
level?
People don't tend to smoke blueberries, so.
All right. How about salmon then?
We can smoke a salmon, but you can't smoke a blueberry.
Okay. So it's how it's ingested and how people interact with it too.
Right, right. And so and with cannabis or marijuana.
Winston's getting excited. He's throwing the duck. We'll be back. Maybe I'll sound a little bit more intelligent at that point. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop. Not about blueberries. With Natalie DeLapp. The regulation or the regulatory environment that marijuana growers and consumers are operating in, a little bit more strident and a little bit more stringent than what we see in a lot of other food products. I mean, you mentioned blueberries.
Yeah.
Got my attention, but are there others also that aren't treated quite the same?
I mean, cannabis or marijuana is one of the most, if not the most highly regulated agricultural crop in California. And that is on a state level. So I was talking about Medical Marijuana Regulation Safety Act. You know, protecting for water quality, environmental quality, social. And then also for consumers, making sure that the product is coming out is cleaner than even organic food. So, and then across the state, there are 58 counties. Humboldt County is one of those 58 counties, and it has its own land use laws.
So we got the land use as well as the legal
correct
elements of it that are adding another level of variability into this?
Right. So there's different rules in Arcata, Eureka, and Rio Del, which are city jurisdictions. So each sub-jurisdiction has its own rules.
Is there, well, I guess it would be then very similar like building. You got the state building code, but then you've got the land use issues within whatever area you're looking at that will vary based on what the local community wants.
Exactly. And so, and that's, you know, local control is very important in our community. We want to make sure that we have a say and it's not some outsider or the state of California telling Humboldt or Eureka how it should govern the consumption or situation that is affecting the local people.
I believe the phrase was carpetbagger.
That's why I'm not in other jurisdictions.
No, you're trying to smoke blueberries. So as this evolves, you mentioned it's been, what, roughly 20 years, give or take, that this is kind of come out of the shadows a little bit. Has there been any resolution, any surety, anything with this? Or because it's political and it's emotional and it's logical and it's that it's still this kind of free-flowing thing?
I mean, and this is, it's frankly, it's pretty depressing because the state created this experimental framework for medical and adult use cannabis in California. And I would say that the experiment is a failure. It is very much broken. Businesses up and down the state are failing. And there is still a massive unregulated industry that is operating in California. California as a state has over-licensed cultivation in excess of 4 to 5 times more than what our California market can consume, which means that the marijuana in California is leaving California. So I have said
going somewhere.
The state of California is complicit in interstate trafficking by allowing way more to be produced within its borders than can be consumed within its borders.
Now, at one point, as I recall talking with, I think it was Mark Lovelace, a supervisor at the time, that there was an attempt to have the equivalent of a marijuana department.
We have that.
In California. It's not under health or ag or any of the things.
It was in three separate departments that have then been combined into the Department of Cannabis Control. It's under the executive branch of the governor's office.
Somehow that makes sense. Sidestep. Okay. Are they doing anything? Or is it one of those positions where people get appointed, they make a lot of money, and you really kind of scratch your head and wonder why do they even exist?
I would say that they think that they're doing something. It is, you know, I think the best, as a consumer, I would say as a consumer, people now have access to licensed, tested product that a consumer can be assured that that product is coming from where it says it's coming from and it's clean.
So it's like the farm-to-table labeling that the ag department does.
Right.
Okay, that doesn't sound like the need for a new department.
Right. You know, so I would say, but the consumer is then forced to pay for a product that's way overpriced. The quality, it's not that the quality's not gone down, but it's not as fresh because the product has to go through all of these.
More testing,
distribution, all of this stuff.
So it's not like a farmer's market where you pick it off the tree.
Right.
And then you can buy it the next day.
And so, we're working on a piece of legislation that was run by Assemblymember Pellerin this year, 2023. It's going to be a 2-year bill. We are hoping we can get it across the line next year in 2024. And that is a farmers market direct sales type event where farmers, cannabis farmers would be able to sell direct to consumers at licensed cannabis events. We will never have our farmers at the food farmers markets. That's not happening. But
now you're reading my mind also.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But at specifically 21 and up cannabis events where farmers would be able to sell direct.
So there'd be one in each county? Or does this get back into the local
jurisdiction? This gets back into the local jurisdiction. So each local jurisdiction has to determine whether they want to allow that type of action and activity. It all has to run through local authorization, state authorization, before you get to go and do that.
It sounds so simple.
It is very complicated.
Is there a way to iron these wrinkles out to make it at least more structured?
I mean, I think what we're dealing with is a proposition, was a ballot measure. So I told you all that, like, the governor signed into law the Medical Marijuana Regulation Safety Act. As convoluted as that was, it was relatively functional. Then people wrote Prop 64, which is the adult use. Most voters don't read past, I want to get high for fun. They voted yes, and they didn't read the complexity of the language and the regulations that got built into this system that we now have to deal with. And it's very hard to undo a voter initiative once the voters have said that this is what they want, even though the voters didn't read.
Right. You got to go back and get another vote.
And in a state like California, that is, $20 to $50 million to run a successful ballot initiative. So,
it's a pretty good harvest. I understand.
I mean, maybe back in the day, but.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Natalie DeLapp. So with all this variability that's going on, this fluid nature of the industry, is there anything that's certain at this point? Or is everything kind of still being adjusted and played with? I mean, other than you need water, you need fertilizer, got that. It's probably,
right. Yeah. I mean, this is a very in flux industry. It is evolving. It is changing. There are uncertain federal, whether it's going to be rescheduled or descheduled. That's, federal government's decision and what the timing on that is.
And that's a significant impact.
That'll be
either changing or not changing.
I mean, hemp, which is also cannabis sativa, back to the dog analogy. But hemp does not contain THC, which is the primary psychoactive ingredient. They just descheduled it. I mean, it was included in the farm bill several years ago, and it just all of a sudden became legal. And it's the same plant.
You just rip off the buds?
It's just a different – it's like a dog that doesn't grow tall. It's the same exact plant.
Well, then it's not a dog that's worthy.
That's the thing. It's the same plant. It's cannabis sativa, like Canis lupus, but one doesn't have the same psychoactive ingredients, but it's completely unregulated by the state or by the federal government. It's just Pandora's box was opened on that.
For the hemp product.
Right. And so
what's used in like clothes and ropes. And
but it's also,
like
it's a lot of people are using, the problem, hemp is a nightmare. I'm just going to say that. As a cannabis person, hemp is a nightmare. And I would just encourage any listeners, if you are buying hemp CBD products, there are also, they can chemically synthesize hemp and make it psychoactive. And so.
Not the consumer, the manufacturer?
The manufacturer. And because it's unregulated, when you were asking about labeling for if you want to buy cannabis from a licensed dispensary, we know what's in that. Hemp, because it's completely unregulated, you can buy hemp products at Eureka Natural Foods. Where that hemp was grown, is that actually hemp? Was it grown in the United States? Was it grown in China? Where is it from? Canada?
Oh, really?
We don't know. So I would really, if you're consuming CBD products or hemp products, that is the biggest unknown out there. And so it does not make it safer than cannabis, because we don't know where it's, what it is, where it's coming from, or even if, I mean, it could just be oil.
So the regulatory environment that's a challenge for this purpose is actually a consumer protection.
Consumer protection.
And even though it may cost more, at least you know what you're getting.
Correct. If you're buying hemp products at the gas station.
It's right up there with sushi at the gas station?
Yeah. You know, those I see all sorts of random pills at the gas station that serve different health purposes. I wouldn't buy those. Just like probably hot dogs taste good, but they're not healthy.
Oh, going to bring up hot dogs now.
I mean, I might go to Costco next and go get a hot dog.
Hot dogs and blueberries in the same show. I don't know if I like you anymore.
Those Costco hot dogs, $1.50. I got to go there this afternoon, so don't threaten me. I'll go get a hot dog and a Coke.
Is there recognition by the medical community?
There's much more. Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, especially for older people. Insomnia, cancer treatment, arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, seizures.
Part of the program,
So cannabis can be used as a salve. And again, this is why I would not recommend using hemp products. You don't know what it is. You can buy cannabis-based salves at the local dispensaries, but you do have to go in the door. You've got to show ID. Sometimes people, that's a barrier to entry.
What about the gummy bears or whatever?
The gummies are great. The gummies, you know,
They are as regulated?
Yeah. If you're buying them from a dispensary,
bath bombs and all that
All
kind
of that stuff is very regulated. You know, if I'm saying with an edible, always start with a half or a quarter of what the, don't overdo it.
No handfuls.
Cut it. Start with one. Cut that in half, or maybe cut that into a quarter and start with that.
I still go with the Hasbro as far as gummies.
Yeah.
You know, if it's lime,
yeah. Yeah, they do taste good. Just don't eat a bunch.
No, that would. If somebody wants to know more about this stuff, other than taking you out for lunch, is there a place that isn't coming from an angle or a perspective that is biased with this information to kind of get their head around it? Because it's certainly, you know, in Humboldt County, it has such an emotional, and I don't know how much logic there is, because it depends on who you talk to, what was real, what isn't real. To kind of get an idea what in the world this stuff is and what the potential really is, too.
Yeah, so there's studies that have, but, you know, back to the state of California. So the state of California likes to throw money at things. One of the things that they're putting money into is pretty significant research that is coming out of the academic universities. That takes years, though. But, you know, as more of these states are legalizing, there's more academic research that's going into the various states. I do think that, and then we can have peer-reviewed data. You know, all of this stuff is just, it's going to take a little bit of time, but it is coming.
Great. Step at a time, right?
Of course.
All right. Happy ho-hos.
Happy blueberries.
Yeah. Yeehaw! See everybody tomorrow.
This presentation of Talk Shop was recorded at a previous time for playback today.